The older I get, the quicker time goes. Amen. And the older I get, the more things change. I remember as a young warthog, I went to White Ice Christian School in Fresno, Ohio. I was in the first grade. Now, Fresno, Ohio is on State Route 93. It's just a spit from the current tower site of 89.5. And if memory serves me correctly, my teacher's name was Miss Randall, who actually listens to Clean Air Christian Radio. Isn't that crazy how that works? And there were two, it was a small school, and it was in the basement, and the younger side was on one side, and the older kids were on the other side. And I was in the first grade, and I met many people there, the Gillette family and the Nally family, and some people I've been friends with for years and years, over 40 years now. And I remember as a kid, I tried my best to every now and then glance over at the big kids class. That was the cool class. Everybody, at least me, wanted to be on that side and see what the big kids were doing. And at break, I just watch them. Man, there goes the big kids. Man, if I could just be on that class. Wow, look how cool they look. They look so tall. They act so great. Wow, I'd just stare at them. I'd be eating my bologna sandwich, actually chip chopped ham because we were poor, and I'd eat chip chopped ham, and I'd be eating my chips, and I'd think, man, if I could just be the cool class. If I could, and every now and then I'd go to the bathroom, and I'd walk by, and I'd walk like this, and I'd peek in the little window because I just want to see the cool kids. And every now and then the door would open up, and I'd get a drink of water, and I was out of class as much as I could. And I went through there, and I'd look in, and there they were. They were the cool kids. They were the older kids. And in chapel, we sat in, you know, kindergarten, first grade. I was in first grade, and every now and then I look back to see if one of the cool kids were looking at me. Now, does anybody want to guess how old these cool kids are? They were the fifth grade. The same age my boys are now. Now, I love my boys more than life, don't get me wrong. But I look at them now, and I'm like, cool kids. You don't wash your hands when you go to the bathroom. Half the time, you don't flush. Cool kids? What changed? Well, a lot of things changed. Perspective. Time. I remember I worked at McDonald's flipping burgers. Actually, it was a hard job because I'm not lazy. Don't tell my wife that, but I really worked hard. And I remember I got a little piece of paper. I still have it, my very first raise. And I made $3.50 an hour. And I'm telling you, I thought to myself, what am I going to do with all this money? $3.50. And I remember, we were poor growing up, and my dad would give me $2. That's all I had to spend at McDonald's. And I could get a plain hamburger, and I could get a small fry and a drink, and if I bummed enough money and pennies off of people, I could get the little McDonaldland cookies that we now get at Aldi's on sale, you know. The other day, Lynette sends me, first of all, when I go grocery shopping, Lynette gives me a list. I think of it more of a suggestion. If I can somewhat get the things on there. And she said, she actually put this on the list, Blair, something, something, healthy cookies. I'm like, healthy cookies? Why waste your time? I'm like, I believe if your breakfast cereal doesn't change your milk colors, you're wasting your time. But the older I get, the more things change. My body's changing. I was never a muscle man, but now and Lynette made this deer meat thing crock pot, and I had to have two helpings. Now I feel like a stuffed turkey. You're wondering why we waited so long to preach, because I didn't want to have to burp my way through it. I ate way too much food. But the older I get, the more things change. I'll be real honest with you. I love my hometown of Coshocton. I spent my good years there. But it's not the same place that I grew up in. There's probably 8 or 9 factories closed. It's a little bit of an area that's hurting. It needs the gospel. It's not the same place. The neighborhood's not the same. My friends aren't the same. Things have changed. I remember it really hit me. I went to a friend of mine's wedding. I'd just been married a year, and David Nally, I went to his wedding, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching my friend get married. I was the best man. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, I can't believe he's getting married. We talked about this day, and now it's happening. And for the first time, when I went there in 1998, the first time in my entire life, I went back to Coshocton, and I didn't have a house to stay in. My parents had moved. My dad had taken a different church. Things change. I praise the Lord that God never changes. I praise the Lord that I can read the Bible, and those stories are just as real to me as they were when I read them as a kid. They're just as real to me as I sat there at Victory Baptist Church, 810 Walnut Street, and I remember Mrs. Lee, and I remember Mr. Swank telling me those stories, and they're just as real now as they were 25, 35, 40 years ago. I remember them. I praise God that He doesn't change us, that the same God that saved 2,000 years ago is the same God that can save today. I praise God for that. We live in a world that's absolutely grown sick. In New York, they just passed a law. You heard about it, I'm sure, that they can almost abort a baby right up to delivery. Are you kidding me? That is murder. But those same people are now trying to pass laws about abusive animals. It's sad is what it is. But that's what happens when you try to base your life on an ever-changing moral law. What used to be murder is no longer murder. It's inconvenience. What used to be murder is now a choice. The old people, you wait. It's coming. People are going to start going a slow boat to Shanghai. When you start taking your moral compass that's always changing on what you feel like, you're in trouble, beloved. I praise God He never changes. Tonight, very quickly, we're going to talk about overwhelmed by His goodness, amazed at His grace. Overwhelmed by His goodness, amazed at His grace. Point number one, His abundance of mercy. His abundance of mercy. Matter of fact, say that with me nice and loud. One, two, three. I praise God for His abundance of mercy. What is the definition of mercy? Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone with whom it is with one's power to punish or harm them. Compassionate or kindly forbearance shown towards an offender, an enemy, or another person in one's power. Compassion, pity, or benevolence. To show them mercy. Here's some Bible verses about mercy. Look there with me. Matter of fact, you won't be able to turn there. I'll just give you the references. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Beloved, if you need mercy tonight, God's got plenty of mercy for you. Lamentations chapter 3, 21 through 23. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. I love those Bible verses. Aren't those fantastic? 1 Chronicles 16, 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Have you ever needed mercy, beloved, and can't get it? Have you ever wanted mercy and can't get it? Have you ever been there? I can tell you, I've been there. Have you ever picked up the phone calling someone because you needed to talk and you knew that they knew you were calling and they didn't pick up? I've been there. Have you ever reached out for mercy and can't get it? I've been there. I'm here to tell you, you reach out to God, He's always there. Praise God. Mercy is everlasting. It's always there. It's always there. The world needs mercy, beloved. When was the last time we showed mercy to someone? When was the last time someone looked at us and were overwhelmed because they couldn't see nothing but God's love and God's mercy? Pastor Holmes tore me apart a while back. He said, basically, he was looking right at me. And he said, David, do your children think you love Jesus? Now, of course, he didn't really say that. But how many of you, when he's preaching, that's what you feel like? That's what I felt like. And I thought, my boys know that I love them. My boys know that I'm compassionate towards them. My boys know I spend time on them. But do my boys know that I love Jesus? That tore me up. And it's hit me like a ton of bricks that my kids need to know that I may be a great dad, and I work hard, and I love to coach, and I always pay the bills, and I always make sure there's food in the cupboard. But do they know that I love Jesus? If my boys leave my home and they don't know that I love Jesus, I'll be honest with you, I have failed as a father. Beloved, how about, can you see his abundance of mercy tonight? Psalms chapter 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalms 103, 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. Psalms 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Say it with me. For his mercy endureth forever. The world makes fun of God. The world tries to make sure it's a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm here to tell you that's not true. There's so much mercy in the Bible. There's so much love in the Bible. There's so much compassion in the Bible. And you know why the world doesn't know about love, mercy, and compassion? Any guesses? Because they don't see it from people who should be giving love, mercy, and compassion. It's not Walmart's job, beloved, to show love, mercy, and compassion. It's not Amazon's job to show love, mercy, and compassion. I hate to burst your bubble. It's not President Trump's job to show love, mercy, and compassion. It's not Congress. It's not the House of Representatives. It's our job. And to make it more personal, it's your job. It's my job. My neighbor should know that David Wyrick's a born-again Christian who goes to church and loves God. My neighbor should know that. My banker should know that. If they don't, whose fault is it? It's my fault. I have to show them mercy. If I don't show mercy, who's going to? Who's going to show them mercy, beloved? Pastor Holmes, has anyone else been convicted by Pastor Holmes' message? Am I the only person? There's times that he preaches, I'm like, would you stop preaching so I can get to the altar? Then I'm on staff. His abundance of mercy. How about an example of mercy? I love this passage. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. And it came to pass that as he, referring to Jesus, was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I love this part of the verse. I picture them trying to quiet a Mrs. Lewis. This is what I picture. And when they went before, rebuked him that he should hold his peace. And he was like, shuh. The man, the miracle worker, is going to heal me. You think I'm going to be quiet? He went bananas. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto them. And when he was come near, he asked, saying, what wilt that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people when they saw it. What do they do, beloved? They give praise unto God. The point is God does things for us because he loves us, yes. God things does for us because he's so merciful. It's who he is. But you know why God does things ultimately? Do you know why? Class? Anybody? Why does God do things for us? So we can give him praise. That's why he does anything. Anything he does, we should return praise to him. That's why we were created. That's why we're here. Constant praise. I hope you didn't think that I was trying to turn you into some fanatical church by having you pray out loud. I'm trying to prove a point that should be our heart all the time. I am so convicted that I ask, ask, ask God, and I rarely say thank you, thank you, thank you. I rarely turn time and say, Lord, I don't want to ask anything today. I just want to praise you because you're worthy. And he's worthy of praise. How about the blind beggar? He was helpless. He was dependent on others. There's no welfare system, no government system. He was absolutely, positively lost, begging soul with no help. Can we see the abundance of mercy from Jesus there? How about you, believing Christian? Without Christ, we are nothing more than hopeless beggars. The richest person on this earth. What's this guy? The guy that founded Amazon. What's his name? Jeff Bezos. He's worth like a kabillion dollars times a billion. I'm here to say it gives me no privilege, no pleasure. If Jeff Bezos does not accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, there isn't enough money in the world to keep him from going to hell. But the good news is he can receive mercy just like I can. All he has to do is ask. I've often thought to myself, I wonder if anybody's ever witnessed to him. I wonder if anybody's ever talked to him. He's got the world by the tail. He invented Amazon. The guy's worth billions of dollars. Has anybody ever said, Jeff, maybe back when he was a nobody, when he was poor, did he work at a Walmart? Did he work at a store somewhere? Did he work with any Christians who said, Jeff, if you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? I wonder about that. When God showed his mercy, he took his hand. We accepted his mercy. When we did, it changed everything. I can say without a shadow of a doubt, with God's mercy, I would not be here today. There's not a doubt in my mind that without God's mercy, my life would be absolute train wreck city. Without God's mercy. To really experience his mercy, to bathe ourselves in his mercy, take time to thank him for his mercy, beloved. When was the last time you said, God, thank you for mercy? God, thank you. Psalms 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So number one, we talked about his abundance of mercy. Number two, his abundance of grace. Say that with me. Number two, his abundance of grace. We've heard it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Getting what we don't deserve. Unmerited favor. Can we really fully wrap our mind around grace? I've tried. I'm not sure that I can. Romans 5:17 says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, 6 and 8, to the praise of the glory of his grace, whereby he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We can see his abundance of grace. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and of gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm here to save. There's plenty of grace for anybody that wants to receive it. I mentioned to you a while ago, I was very convicted. I went to one of our activities in the gym. And I think it was, I don't remember, it might have been a meeting, I don't remember, Brother Charles. And I talked to Pastor and I said, Pastor, I'm very convicted about something. And of course, he named 17 things I should be convicted of, and it wasn't any of those. And I said, the biggest thing is, Pastor, we have people in our church and our gym, and I don't think they're getting the gospel. I said, whether it's a ball game or you know, some get-together, I said, personally, I don't think anybody should walk in on our property if we have a microphone and a time without getting the gospel. Can I get an amen? Amen. Shouldn't we do that? He said, David, if you feel convicted, then I agree you should do that. And so every home game now, we've given a clear-cut presentation of the gospel. I have to admit, it maybe seem kind of weird sometimes. You're about to stand up there, all the ball players are all dressed. But who makes it weird? The devil, that's who makes it weird. There's nothing wrong with giving the gospel in a church, correct? Is it ever wrong? I don't care if it's a funeral, an offering, a wedding, wedding, funeral, same thing. It doesn't matter. We should always feel comfortable giving the gospel. The only time I'm not comfortable giving the gospel is when my prideful self doesn't want to make a fool of myself, or when the devil says, oh, they won't want to hear it. They'll make fun of you. God, you have to remember, Dan tells me this all the time. David, that's something you should do. The devil didn't put that on your heart to do it. The devil doesn't put good things on your heart. And I thought to myself, you know, we're going to do that. God's grace. God's grace. We've heard examples of God's grace, right? We're skipping forward for sake of time. How about Noah? What example of God's grace, a picture of salvation? You know, I've heard people say that the world's never been more wicked. I disagree. You read the account of Genesis and Ark, it was pretty wicked. Think about it, the entire world, there was only Noah and his family. That was the only just people on earth. You think it's bad now? Beloved, I love you. You ain't seen nothing yet. By the way, this is a plug. If you haven't been to the Ark Encounter, you need to get it. I'm telling you, it is incredible. A picture of God's grace all throughout it. Salvation through the whole thing. It is incredible. You need to get there. I took Lynette there for our anniversary. How romantic. Some people for the 20th go to Hawaii. Some go to, like, you know, Bora Bora. We went to Cincinnati, Ohio. It was great. Yeah, we rented bikes and everything. It was really romantic. We had the kids with us. It was good. Woo, I better hurry up here. What an example of God's grace is Joseph. What a picture of God's grace in his life. When I think of God's grace, I think of his forgiveness for what he's done for us, for what he's given us. We would not have to look long and far to find pictures of God's grace everywhere tonight. But I wonder myself, what would the Bible be without God's grace? How about Moses when he committed murder? What would we be, and how would the Bible be written and finished if there wasn't grace for Moses? You ever thought about that? How about Peter when he denied Jesus? Where would Peter be if it hadn't been for God's grace? How about Jonah when he disobeyed God? Where would that story end up if it hadn't been for God's grace? But yet I think to myself, David, how many times have you hid it in your heart? God says that's murder in the New Testament. I'm guilty just like Moses is. I may have never ran away and been swallowed by a whale, although if I keep eating, I'm going to look like a whale, but I've never been eaten by a whale. But I've disobeyed God in my finances at times. There's been times God told me to hand out a gospel tract, and I've told him, no, thank you. There's been times there's been someone at the store that I know specifically God told me to do something, and I said, not today. And before you look at me so pious, if you're honest with yourself, so have you. So have you. Maybe I've never stood in an alley on some cold winter night warming myself like they do in all those cool videos when they all sing and they all sing a cappella and it all sounds really good. And I'm talking about, no, okay, next subject. You know, I've never done that. I've never done it like Peter did. But have I? Have there been coworkers and people that I had a chance to bring up Jesus and God even opened the door after I asked him to and I didn't walk through it? But yet God gives me grace after all, doesn't he? He sure does. Last point, we're going home. His abundance of power. Just look outside and take a moment to think about the creation and about God's power. How about we contemplate the human body, the mind, and think about God's power? Ephesians chapter 3 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. 1 Chronicles 29, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be the Lord, our God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and all on earth is thine. That is the kingdom of the Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. God can hold the entire universe and keep it in order. Yet he knows when a bird falls. And he knows the very hair on our heads. Matthew 10:29-31. We serve a powerful God. He can tell the sun to set, the stars to come out at night. But according to Psalms 56:8, he keeps our tears in a bottle. We serve a powerful God. He can keep Satan and all the demons from crossing the gulf between heaven and hell and polluting heaven with sin. Yet according to Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's the power of God. We serve a powerful God. He can keep the world in order. He can command the kings and princesses of this land. Yet this very same hand he protects us with is the very same hand he holds us with. And John 10:28 says, nothing can pluck you out of my hand. Tonight, we should be overwhelmed by his goodness and amazed by his grace. His abundance in mercy, his abundance of grace, his abundance of power. He truly is an awesome God, and he's worthy of our worship.